plays down the stretch to post a 76-69 win over the Cyclones in Hilton Coliseum in men's college hoops last night. Iowa State led it 38-36 at the half, but Coach Fred Hoiberg felt his team was out-hustled in the opening half, and then that continued in the second half.
We could have come out of the locker room and had some momentum and corrected things, but, you know, just they made the effort plays all night. You know, we executed our game plan perfectly tonight. You know, they make five threes in 21 attempts. You know, we just weren't tough enough. We just could not get those loose balls, those rebounds. It was too easy for them to post. You know, but we took away those initial actions. As good as we have all year.
It was the Cyclones' first loss in Big 12 play as they dropped to 2-1 in the conference.
I thought we'd come out with a ton of fire and passion, similar to what we came out with those first two games. Our preparation was outstanding. Our focus, attention to small detail, was there. Our shoot around was as good as we've had all year. We just went out and I thought let some small things bother us, too much. And, you know, obviously, like I said, the hustle plays determine this game.
Iowa State was out-rebounded 36-25, but the Cyclones really hurt themselves from the free throw line, hitting on only 13 of their 25 tries.
It's disappointing because I felt we should have won the game. That's the hard thing, is I felt we threw this one away.
Scott Christofferson led the Cyclones with 21 points as he hit on 4 of 6 from three-point range. Iowa State falls to 12-4 overall on the season. Elsewhere in top 25 play last night, number 1 Syracuse is 18-0 for the second straight season as Deion Waiters scored 20 points and James Sutherland added 18 as the top-ranked Orange cruised to a 79-66 win at Villanova. Anthony Davis and Doran Lamb scored 14 apiece as number 2 Kentucky finished an uneven performance with a flourish to beat Auburn 68-53. The Wildcats are 15-1. Matt Presley led 5 players in double digits with 14 points to help out Missouri in their win over Iowa State. Thomas Robinson had 19 points and 12 rebounds, leading 10th-rated Kansas over Texas Tech 81-46. Trey Burke scored 19 points, including Michigan's last 8 of overtime, to help the 13th-ranked Wolverines hold off Northwestern 66-64. Devontae Gardner had career best with 22 points and 15 rebounds, leading number 25 Marquette to an 83-64 win over St. John's. In women's college hoops, Angel Goodrich of Kansas was only 5 of 16 from the field, but she hit a long 3-point bucket with 5 seconds left to send the game into a second overtime, and Kansas went on to a 74-67 win in Allen Fieldhouse last night over the Iowa State Cyclones. Kansas' Carolyn Davis scored nearly all of her 21 points, playing with 4 fouls through the last 20 minutes of the game, as Iowa State suffered another heartbreaking loss at Kansas. The Jayhawks are 13-2 overall, 2-1 in the Big 12. Iowa State falls to 9-5 overall. They're 0-3 in the conference. Iowa State, which led by 13 with 9.5 minutes left in regulation, scored just once in a late 5-minute stretch of the second half. The Cyclones, led by Chelsea Poppins' 24 points and 15 rebounds, were outscored 11-4 in the second overtime. Anna Prinz had 19 points and 7 rebounds for Iowa State. Next up for the Cyclones, they'll host defending NCAA champion Texas A&M in a Big 12 contest Saturday night at Hilton Coliseum. Well, the UNI women's basketball team has won 3 games in a row coming into tonight's game against Indiana State at the McLeod Center. Prior to starting the win string on New Year's Eve, the Panthers had lost 3 straight. UNI coach Tanya Warren says there have been a few differences that have led to the improved play.
Rebounding, the urgency to finish the defensive possession with rebounding. And then I think that we've done a good job of getting back to winning the 50-50 ball. The hustle plays, the things that have made us good, we're getting back to. We're shooting the basketball better. We're getting to the free throw line. And in those 3 losses, we were in single digits at the free throw line.
Warren says the biggest difference has been getting more aggressive play out of the team.
We're just playing a lot more aggressive, and we have to continue to do that. We can't play soft. We're not very good when we're soft. We have a chance when we're aggressive.
The Sycamores come into tonight's game 3-0 in the Valley, but they've played each of their conference games on their home floor. Warren says they do a lot of things well, and they're paced by a very impressive post.
They played all 3 games at home. Very good. They have almost everybody back from a year ago. They shoot it well from the perimeter. They push. They're led by their 6'4 center, Shannon Thomas. She's a beast on the block. She's thin, but she can face up, variety of moves. We're going to have to be ready to play.
Panthers will play strong tonight. They're 10-5 on the season, 3-1 in conference play entering that contest. In the NBA last night, Indiana beat Atlanta 96-84, Sacramento over Toronto 98-91, New York beat Philadelphia 85-79, Dallas, the defending champs, over Boston 90-85, Oklahoma City dumped New Orleans 95-85, Chicago over Washington 78-64, San Antonio in overtime over Houston 101-95. It was the L.A. Clippers knocking off Miami in overtime, 95-89. That other L.A. team, the Lakers, beat Utah in overtime, 90-87. Denver outscored New Jersey 123-115, and Orlando a 107-104 winner over Portland. Just two games in the National Hockey League last night. Washington 1-0 over Pittsburgh, and New Jersey in overtime a 2-1 winner over Edmonton. In football news, real life is intruding on the Green Bay Packers' playoff preparations and their bid to repeat as Super Bowl champions. Packers coach Mike McCarthy calls it a punch in the heart, briefly choking up with emotion about the death of Michael Philbin, the son of Packers offensive coordinator Joe Philbin. Philbin wasn't with the team yesterday as they prepare to meet the New York Giants this weekend. Philbin will be away indefinitely as he and his family deal with the loss of their son, whose body was recovered from an icy Wisconsin river on Monday. McCarthy said he and the rest of his offensive assistant coaches are dividing up Philbin's responsibilities and will continue to do so as long as they need to. McCarthy says Philbin is with his family, and that's where he's supposed to be. In other NFL news, the Indianapolis Colts have hired Eagles executive Ryan Grigson as their general manager. The 40-year-old Grigson has spent the past 9 years with Philadelphia, where he was named director of player personnel in 2010 after 4 years as college scouting director. Colts owner Jim Irsay last week fired vice chairman Bill Polian and his general manager's son Chris after a disappointing 2-14 record that earned Indianapolis the first pick in April's draft. Atlanta Falcons receiver Roddy White has made his fourth straight Pro Bowl roster. He was added to the NFC team as a replacement for injured Detroit Lions star Calvin Johnson. The Jacksonville Jaguars introduced new coach Mike Mularkey at a Wednesday news conference a day after he was hired to take over a team that finished 8-8. The former Falcons offensive coordinator says he's looking forward to working with Blaine Gabbert and blames the rookie quarterback struggles on a lockout-shortened training camp. The New York Jets have hired Tony Sparano as their offensive coordinator to replace Brian Schottenheimer. The former Miami Dolphins head coach takes over an offense that finished 25th overall this season. It's the first offensive coordinator job for Sparano, who was fired by the Dolphins last month after going 29-32 in three-plus seasons. Cowboys offensive line coach Hudson Hauk is retiring, ending a 45-year coaching career that included 29 of those in the NFL. A person familiar with the choice says American Idol Kelly Clarkson has been chosen to sing the national anthem before the Super Bowl. Let's hope she gets the words right. In college football news, Robert Griffin III has decided to forego his final season of eligibility at Baylor and enter the NFL draft. The Heisman Trophy winner is projected to be one of the top picks in April. He and Heisman runner-up Andrew Luck of Stanford are likely to be the first two quarterbacks taken. Griffin's announcement comes a month and a day after he became the first Baylor player to win college football's highest individual honor. The Bears finished at number 13. It's their first ranking in the final poll of the season since 1986. The deadline for underclassmen to formally declare and petition for early entry in the draft is Sunday. Also, Georgia tight end Orson Charles is giving up his final year of college eligibility for a chance at pro football. Charles is a 6'3", 241-pounder who made 45 catches this past season. That tied for second on a 10-4 Bulldogs team. A person familiar with the hiring says defensive coordinator Ted Roof is leaving Central Florida after a month to take over the same position at Penn State under new coach Bill O'Brien, the same person who confirmed Wednesday night to the Associated Press that O'Brien was adding Buffalo Bills receivers coach Stan Hickson to coach the same position with the Nittany Lions. A Penn State administrator charged with failing to report an allegation of child sex abuse involving former defensive coordinator Jerry Sandusky has been diagnosed with a recurrence of lung cancer. Athletic director Tim Curley's wife says doctors are monitoring his condition after an illness first diagnosed in June of 2010 flared up again. Melinda Curley said in a statement that doctors had removed half of one lung after discovering a malignant tumor, but neither chemotherapy nor radiation was required. Curley is on administrative leave. He's also charged with perjury and is awaiting trial. In baseball news, the Los Angeles Dodgers and Fox have settled their lawsuit, removing a roadblock that could have held up the sale of the bankrupt team. In a motion filed in U.S. bankruptcy court in Delaware, the Dodgers say they are abandoning their attempt to market future media rights and will adhere to their contract with Fox's Prime Ticket subsidiary. That keeps intact Fox's exclusive negotiating window from October 15th through November 30th this year. Initial bids for the Dodgers are due January 23rd, and a number of groups are expected to submit offers. Joe Torre, Oral Hershiser, Steve Garvey, Peter O'Malley, and Fred Clare are among those who have expressed interest. Elsewhere in baseball news, Ryan Vogelsong and the San Francisco Giants have agreed to a two-year contract worth about $8.3 million after he became one of the team's most reliable starters and an unlikely all-star last season. The 34-year-old right-hander, who had been eligible for arbitration, set a career high for wins while going 13-7 with a .271 earned run average in 30 games. The L.A. Angels have re-signed Kendry Morales to a one-year deal that's worth just shy of $3 million. The switch-hitting first baseman hasn't played since he broke his left ankle while jumping on home plate to celebrate a game-ending grand slam on May 29th of 2010. Adam Mattingly will be back in uniform in the New York Yankees organization this year. Preston, the 24-year-old son of the former Yankees star and current Los Angeles Dodgers manager, agreed to a minor league contract with New York. He hit .232 with 5 doubles, 5 home runs, and 19 RBIs in 53 games last year in Class A ball. That's Check of Sports this hour. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.